these messages, we can burn it out for you on CD. I think it's 150 naira for two CDs, so that we can, not to make profit, but to get back the cost that we used to purchase the CD. The message itself is free, but you need to pay for the CD. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. We are going to continue with the series of teachings which we started on Think Like Jesus. We've been doing this series of teachings now for weeks. And we started by looking at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And we pointed out that when God says, let this mind be in you, he's simply telling you, begin to use your mind the way Jesus used his mind. Begin to think the way that Jesus Christ thinks. If you think like Jesus, you will speak like Jesus. If you think like Jesus, you will act like Jesus. If you think like Jesus, you will live like Jesus. If you don't think like Jesus, you cannot live like him, you cannot speak like him, you cannot act like him, and that means you are not a Christian. That does not matter what you call yourself. If you don't speak like Jesus, if your life does not reflect that of Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. The disciples were called Christian for the first time in Antioch in Acts chapter 11 because unbelievers saw them, that these people, they were living like Jesus of Nazareth. They were speaking like Jesus, they were acting like Jesus, and unbelievers started calling them Christians. It was not the believers who gave themselves the title Christians. It was unbelievers who gave them the title Christians because they saw them, they were living like Jesus. Now, today we are having a very serious challenge in that people even tell you, I am a Christian, I go to church, and you say, you, are you serious? You go to church? I can't believe it. Why? Because even though the guy professes to be a Christian, his character is like that of the devil. So we started looking at this series of teachings. The first one we looked at was forgiveness. How did Jesus Christ handle forgiveness? And how did he teach us to handle forgiveness? Because offenses will always abound. There is no way, whether you like it or not, you are going to get offended. How are you supposed to handle it? We also looked at how to handle injustice. If you are being persecuted, if you are being cheated, if somebody did something wrong to you, how are you supposed to handle it? Because some people, in an attempt to handle injustice, have mishandled it and they've gotten into serious problems with the Almighty God. So we need to be able to understand that. A week before last, we started looking at obedience. How did Jesus handle obedience? Because the Bible made two things clear about the character of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, humility and obedience. He was obedient unto death. And because he was obedient unto death, the Bible says God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. We look at the life of Jesus, where he started from. He started from a manger, where animals were living, where animals were urinating and defecating. That was where he was born. But because of obedience, he ended up in the highest throne in the entire universe. Such that everyone now on earth and in heaven, apart from the Almighty God, must bow down to Jesus Christ. And we pointed out that it does not matter what your background is. It does not matter how many mistakes you have made in your life. If you purpose to obey God, God will promote you. Obedience will always result in your promotion. Disobedience will always result in destruction. We pointed out, I'm doing a recap. I may spend a long time doing this recap because quite a number of us were not around before we now conclude with that teaching. We pointed out that there are two principles operating in the universe. Two principles. Outside of those two principles, there is none other. There are only two. One is the principle of obedience. The second is the principle of rebellion. outside of those two principles, there is none other. At any point in your life, you are either operating under obedience, or you are operating under rebellion. And obedience is symbolized by Jesus Christ. Rebellion is symbolized by Lucifer, the devil. Now, the problem we have in the church is that many Christians in doctrine, they follow Jesus Christ. Their doctrine is perfect. They know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But in principle, they follow the devil. They are stubborn, they are disobedient, they are self-willed. They will never do whatever they are told. And then we pointed out that God is not interested in your doctrine. God is interested in your principle. Because in doctrine, there could be an element of self-will. That is why he says obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is principle, your sacrifice is your doctrine. God is not interested in your giving. He's not interested in your service, he's interested in your obedience. What has he told you to do? And then we also pointed out that we are very sensitive to sin, but we are seldom sensitive to disobedience. We are seldom sensitive to rebellion. If somebody brings adultery to us now, at the level that we are, we will run away and say, adultery, that is sin. For most of us here, if somebody brings alcohol to you and say, come and take alcohol, you say no. You say, that is sin. If somebody brings cigarettes, you say no. You say, that is sin. Why? We are sensitive to sin, but we are not sensitive to stubbornness. Some of us are Christians, we are highly stubborn. Some of us are very disobedient. Some of us, if they tell you sit here, you will say why? We don't respect our parents. We don't respect our bosses in the office. Wives don't respect their husbands. Children don't obey their parents, and so on and so forth. Disobedience. We even disobey last man on the road. We disobey traffic warden on the road, not realizing that we are meant to obey. In that, we pointed out that God has two ways of manifesting or exercising his authority. Before that, we looked at Romans chapter 13 verses 1 and 2, in which we saw that all power belongs to God, and there is no power except that is ordained of God. Sorry, I'm doing a recap, so if I'm going back and forth. All power is of God. God is the sole authority in the entire universe. Apart from God, nobody else has authority. President Jonathan has no authority. Obama has no authority. The pastor has no authority. The police has no authority. Only one person has authority, and that is the Almighty God. And then he delegates his authority to people. He delegated part of his authority to President Jonathan. He delegated part of his authority to the traffic warden on the road to maintain orderliness. He delegated part of his authority to the policeman. He delegated some to the pastor. He delegated some to your father. He delegated some to your boss in the office. That is how he exercises his authority. So if you disobey the traffic warden, you are disobeying God. If you disobey your father, you are disobeying God. If you disobey your teacher, you are disobeying God. So we challenge ourselves that as Christians, in whatever situation we are in, we must learn to recognize who has authority. That is the mind of Christ. You cannot have all authority. I cannot have all authority. Even as a pastor, if we appoint an usher here, the usher has authority. And God expects me to submit to that authority. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, God says, all of you be subject one to another. He now says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Because people refuse to submit to authority because of pride. Say, how can I, a pastor, and an usher is telling me I should not sit there? Who are you? Now that is pride. And God resists pride. So wherever you go, as a child of God, always try to recognize who has authority. Once you know who has authority in a particular place, submit to that authority. You are not going to lose anything. You will only gain. We need to retrain our mind. We need to retrain the way that we think. Because our society is a lawless one. Our society is filled with disobedience. You just have to go on the road and see the way we drive. I will give us an example. We say, look at the Okada rider. For example, the man does not obey the red light. If they stop all vehicles and say, wait for the other vehicles to pass, the Okada rider will go. He has always been living in disobedience. And we ask one question, look at his life. See where disobedience has brought him. Do you want to be like the Okada man? He's stubborn, he's self-willed, he's disobedient. That is where disobedience has brought him in his life. And yet, he refuses to change. Look at the downfall driver. He will face one way. He will stop in the middle of the road. They keep telling them every day, don't take the express, take the service lane. They will take the express road. See the downfall driver. Would you like to have one of them in your house? No, I'm sure you won't. See where disobedience has brought them. And yet, the guy refuses to change. They give him an instruction, he will not obey. They tell him, don't drink paraga, he will drink it. They tell him, don't smoke cigarette, he will smoke it. They tell him, don't go there, he will go there. See the way his life is. And that is the way it is with anybody who follows the path of disobedience. He is following the path of destruction. That's why we read in that Bible passage, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God says, see, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He said, therefore, choose life so that you may live. Follow obedience. Obey what I tell you. And let me tell you, 9.5 times out of 10, God will not speak to you directly. 9.5 times out of 10, 99.5% God will not speak to you directly. He will speak to you through a delegated authority. It's very rare. By the time God starts talking to you directly, then he has a specific assignment for you, and he will only talk to you concerning that assignment. He will give you some instructions through your father. He will give you some instructions through your mother. He will give you some instructions through your pastor. He will give you some even through your neighbor who is older than you are. He will give you some through the government. If you like, obey. If you like, don't obey. He says, he has shown you, O man, that which is good. He has shown you. So nobody will have any excuse to say, Almighty God, I didn't know. That's why my life was messed up. Mm-mm. You choose to. Then, still doing a little bit of the recap, we mentioned that sin is easily forgiven, but rebellion is not easily forgiven. Do you remember that? Ha. God easily forgives sin, but God does not easily forgive rebellion. Why? Because sin has to do with conduct. Rebellion has to do with principle. Your principle is what shows who you are. That's your character. God is more interested in your character than in your personality. And we pointed out that is why God forgave David, and yet Saul did not receive forgiveness. Because David sinned, Saul rebelled. Are you following along with me? If you and I should judge the case, we will say David was more guilty than Saul. That is the way we will have judged it. The man stole another man's wife and plotted the assassination of the murder of the husband. And after killing the man, Uriah, he now married Bathsheba. We will say that one is a much more grievous sin than a king that was sent, go and destroy people. He destroyed the people, but he did not destroy the fat animals. And I say, but the fat animals, if you destroy it, you are losing now. That one is the spoil of war. If you and I were called by God to judge the case, we would have vindicated Saul, and we would have condemned David. But God is not so. God is not so. Because sin is easily forgiven, rebellion is not easily forgiven. So if there is anyone here who is living in disobedience, you are only harming yourself. And it is going to take a conscious effort on our part, because many of us have been brought up to live lives of disobedience. As a matter of fact, if you can go back memory lane this morning and try and look at your life, where you are coming from, and look at where you are right now, and if you discover that you are not where you ought to be, I am telling you, go and check your life. At a point you have disobeyed. At a point in your life, you have disobeyed. They have told you don't do something, and you went ahead and you did it. And now things have scattered, and you don't know how to put them together anymore. And believe me, until you return to obedience, things will never be sorted out. Because the only person who can put things right is the Almighty God. And God will not interfere in anyone's case until the fellow has made up his mind, I will obey. That's why when we pray, when we lead people to Christ, the prayer we tell them to pray is, I surrender. Isn't that so? What does I surrender mean? Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. We say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and what? And my Savior. First and foremost, Lord, which means you are my master. You are my owner. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. Until we return to obedience, we cannot get our problem sorted out. It's not a question of going from one church to another, looking for people to pray for you, looking for people to anoint you, looking for people to prophesy. It will not work. Since you have been going, how many solutions have you gotten apart from the money that they collected from you? It will not work. The only thing that will work is obedience. If obedience can take Jesus, who was born in a manger, and obedience can catapult him to the highest throne, obedience will promote you. Amen. Somebody flown along with me. If disobedience can destroy Lucifer, who was God's right-hand man, Lucifer, who was standing in the presence of God in heaven, who was controlling all the other angels, if rebellion can bring Lucifer down from that great height and throw him down into hellfire and turn him into a hideous beast, rebellion will destroy anybody. Are you following along with me? Disobedience will destroy anybody. Pray all the prayer you know how to pray. Speak in tongues for 24 hours non-stop. Rebellion will destroy you. If you make up your mind that you are going to remain stubborn, you are not going anywhere. God himself will fight you. Whatever God has created will fight you. Until you turn around and you say, Lord, from today, I will not be stubborn. I will be meek. Whatever they tell me to do, that is right, I will do. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. Your life will change. There is no witch that is fighting you. No witch. So long as you promise God you are going to be obedient, you are going to be all right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let us continue. There is one dangerous thing about disobedience that all of us need to be aware of. What the devil has done is that he has disguised rebellion in most instances as fighting for your right. Many of us have this attitude now, which of course we copied from the world. They can't cheat me. If it is me, they can't do that kind of a thing. I will not take it. What did you say, the man? That's what your own husband did. God forbid. God forbid. If it is my husband, I will tell him back. I will not. Is that what your boss did? Hey, wonderful. If my boss should try that with me, don't let me talk. They know me in my office, so they know me. Is that what they said? No, I will not agree. They said, don't pass that place. They said, we'll talk out. Come, we go pass the place. We said, no, pass out. They said, government, say, don't pass. They said, we go pass out. Nothing will happen. It is the society. And many of us grew up like that. And even though we are still born again, we still have that attitude. Are you following along with me? Now, we need to note one thing. We need to note one dangerous thing. The Bible makes one point very clear, that Satan deliberately encourages us to be stubborn, deliberately encourages us to disobey, because as we do that, he is doing something dangerous in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 2 to 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Are we there, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wherein in time past ye walked. Let me just take it from verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Please note that name. That is a name. The prince of the power of the air. When you go through the Bible, you discover that many of such princes were mentioned. There was the prince of Gracia. There was the prince of Persia. That is the prince of this world. Now, the Bible is talking about the prince of the power of the air. He now gives you his identity. He said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Somebody follow along with me. There is a spirit that is behind disobedience. Almighty God says, the name of that spirit is the prince of the power of the air. Now, verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even you and I, we used to behave, we used to live under the influence of that spirit. Now the Bible says is the prince of the power of the air, which tells you that spirit operates in the atmosphere. By breathing in and out, you contact that spirit. So long as you are breathing, you are in contact, you are in contact with the spirit. The spirit of disobedience. The only time you are free from the prince of the power of the air is when you are dead. Because you can't do without breathing. Even as a child of God, the devil still tempts you to disobey. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Or is it that after you got born again, you lost every impulse to disobey? No. It's still there. Because you are still breathing. That spirit is still there. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, why is that spirit working in people? Because, brethren, Satan uses disobedience to recruit people into witchcraft. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. If you have come from a polygamous family, a house in which the father has many wives, stubborn women are usually in witchcraft. Women who will not agree to what your husband says, they end up being initiated into witchcraft. When the devil wants to recruit people into witchcraft, he starts with disobedience. I will not agree. I will not do what I have been told. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 23. I will not do what I have been told. I will not agree. I will not obey. Now, what the fellow does not know is that he is responding to the prompting of a demon. And the name of that demon is the prince of the power of the air. Oftentimes when we talk about witchcraft, many of us have at the back of our mind women alone who fly through during the night. No. No. Those are not all the witches. So that's just a class of witches. So according to this man, Ike Uzoma, if you have read his book, the book sold a number of years ago, the Grandmaster of the Occult, now in Christ. And the guy reveals so many things that they were doing in the kingdom of darkness, because he was one of their top agents there. He says there are two types of witches. He says one, there are real witches. And then there is another category of witches who are called blind witches. Now, the blind witches are people Satan used for witchcraft, and they don't even know that they are witches. But in the book of the dead, in Satan's register, their names are there. That they are witches. There are witches who know that if they want to be honest, they will tell you, yes, I'm a witch. And there are witches who don't know that they are witches. And many of them come to church to speak in tongues and shout hallelujah. Is somebody flowing along with me? Hello? Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
There is a spirit behind disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2 makes it clear. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. That spirit has an objective. The objective is to recruit you into witchcraft and turn you into a blind witch. So there is, how many people are going to heaven? You will raise both hands. How many people belong to Jesus? Even if possible, you will raise the legs and raise the hands. And the devils will be laughing. They say, who is going to heaven? They say, this one, that's our top agent inside that church. Why do you think churches scatter? Why do you think they fight in many Christian assemblies? You think it is the Holy Ghost who comes to cause trouble? There are people inside the church who are agents of Satan, and they don't even know they are agents of Satan. So when it is time to scatter the church, Satan calls his agents and presses the right buttons, and they go to work. And they scatter the church. And after they scatter the church, they point at the pastor. They are agents. What leads them into it is disobedience. Is somebody flowing along with me?
Yes.
Aha. So one thing you must pay attention to in your life is that from today you must purpose the mind of Christ must dwell in me. I must begin to think like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ thinks in terms of obedience. He says, my food is to do the will of my Father. So you take the Bible, you study the Bible. What does God says I should do? You do it. What has God said I must not do? You don't do it. You are safe. As simple as ABC. But so long as you still have ideas of your own, so long as you still have intentions of your own, you will get into trouble. I pray you will not get into trouble in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that Satan will not recruit you into witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I pray any plan that the forces of darkness have for your life, it will fail in the name of Jesus. And I also pray that you yourself, you will cooperate with God. You will not cooperate with the prince of the power of the air. Because the spirit will come and tell you to jump the red light. I say, are you stupid? Other vehicles are going. Why are you standing there? They will even abuse you. Move now, this foolish man. Move now. And then if you like, you move, you are breaking the law. You have opened the door for the prince of the power of the air. Your father says, go and do something. Your younger sister says, no mind that, no mind that. I mean, call for, I say, I don't go do it. No. And then you say, you don't go mind that. You are in trouble, though. Your boss tells you something in the office. Other people say, we are not going to do it. We are not going to agree. You better tell them, me, I will agree. Oh. He didn't tell me to go and commit adultery. He didn't tell me to go and lie. He didn't tell me to go and steal. He told me to go and walk. Me, I will agree. Oh. They tell you, don't touch that drink. You say, waiting. All this law serve too much. And no touch, no drink, no do. Not be just one gas. I just take one small gas. You take up. You're on your own. If you decide to open the door for the prince of the power of the air, please, your mother-in-law has no hand in your problem. You understand? Your stepmother is not the one doing you. You are doing yourself. Finally, your authority, your ability to exercise authority over the devil, it is dependent on your obedience. If you violate authority, no evil spirit will obey you. Because a rebellious creature will not submit to another rebellious creature. The evil spirits are rebellious. Are you following along with me? They know they are rebellious. So if you two start living in rebellion, you cannot exercise authority over them. They will not obey you. I remember the story of one woman. She was a deliverance minister, anointed for that kind of ministry. She could pray for people. There would be manifestations of the evil spirits, and she would cast them out, and they would go. But over a period of time, she started noticing that it is not every time that she commands those evil spirits that they obey. There are some ministrations she will go and do, it will flop. And there are some ministrations she will go and do, it will be fantastic. So through experience, she now linked the periods that she had a bad ministration with those times that she quarreled with her husband at home. And she was not able to discover that whenever she has no problem with her husband at home, even before she spoke, the evil spirits obeyed. So, when she tried it, she now decided, one day, there was a problem between her and her husband. And normally she would have acted like a normal wife. Okay, she would either have sulked and say, I will not agree, and slam the door on the man, or the man will talk. Normal thing that women will do. She now decided that day she will not do it. She now begged her husband, knelt down, and did what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 to 6, and pleaded with her husband. Her husband said, it's okay, you can go. And she went for the ministration. It was fantastic. I said, so each time I fight my husband, evil spirits will not obey. So each time she was now going on ministration, when they invited her, she would first go and meet her husband. I said, please, I hope I have not offended you. I hope everything is all right between us. If I have done anything, please let me know so that I can apologize. She will sort herself out with her husband. After she has done that, she will go for administration. Every evil spirit that she encounters will obey. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Are we there? From the right side, are we there? Okay. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The only time time you can revenge any form of disobedience is when your own obedience is fulfilled. If your obedience is not fulfilled, you can't bind Satan. Do you know how many Christians are praying every Sunday, devil will bind you, and the devil is not bound?
Yes.
Every day they pray, Satan, I bind you, I cast you down. Satan is not cast down. You cannot exercise authority over evil spirits if you are living in rebellion. Because a rebellious creature will not submit to another rebellious creature. It's not possible. It has to take an obedient creature to exercise authority over a rebellious creature. And evil spirits are rebellious. So for you to be able to exercise authority over them, you must be in obedience to the Almighty God. And brethren, there is no alternative to the mind of Christ. I want to encourage each one of us this morning that please, for our own sake, and like the word of God makes it clear in that Deuteronomy chapter 30 which we read, say, for your sake and for the sake of your seed, for the sake of your children, please return to obedience. Let us be Christians who will be known to do the right things at the right time. Even if everybody around you is doing what is wrong, you stand out and do what is right. Even if they abuse you, take the abuse and do what is right. They will all come back eventually to come and commend you for the stand that you have taken. Because even the most disobedient person in the world is looking for obedient people. You know that even thieves are looking for honest people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Even thieves, they are looking for honest man. A thief doesn't want his things stolen. When a thief has stolen something, he is looking for an honest man to keep it with. And that's why they fight themselves. When a thief has stolen something, and one of them steals the same thing again, they will kill that one. Say, you are a thief. Praise the Lord. Like I had a Port Harcourt where, when thief, God go laugh. And when a thief has stolen something and another thief steals it from him, God will just be laughing. But the thief is not laughing. If you don't believe me, go and steal the money of a politician who stole money from government. He will get all the police in Calais hands upon to go and arrest you. Why? Even thieves, they are looking for honest people. Now, the bottom line is this, brethren. We are commanded, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And I leave you with that word, let the mind of obedience, let it be in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And let's talk to the Almighty God. If you are someone who finds obedience difficult, if you are someone whose mind has been trained to disobey, if they tell you right, say left. If they tell you stop, you will tell yourself go. If they tell you silent, that's when you will tell yourself speak. If you have trained yourself in disobedience, please begin to change your mind and begin to think, adopt a new lifestyle. A new lifestyle, a lifestyle of obedience. Let this mind be in you. Because the only person who will lose each time you disobey is yourself. God is not going to lose anything. And there is the risk that if you become obedient, God forbid, the fellow who is disobedient can easily be recruited into witchcraft by the prince of the power of the air.